What are we waiting for? And what are we going to do about it in the meantime? Those are the two questions which shape this book. First, it is about the ultimate future hope held out in the Christian gospel. The hope, that is, for salvation, resurrection, eternal life, and the cluster of other things that go with them. Second, it is about the discovery of hope within the present world, about the practical ways in which hope can come alive for communities and individuals who, for whatever reason, may lack it. And it is about the ways in which embracing the first can, and should, generate and sustain the second. Most people, in my experience, including many Christians, don't know what the ultimate Christian hope really is. Most people, again, sadly including many Christians, don't expect Christians to have much to say about hope within the present world. Most people don't imagine that these two could have anything to do with each other. Hence the title of the book, Hope Comes as a Surprise, at several levels at once. At the first level, the book is obviously about death and about what can be said from a Christian perspective about what lies beyond it. I'm not going to attempt a physical or medical analysis of death and its aftermath, nor yet a psychological or anthropological description of beliefs and practices to do with death. There are plenty of books about such things. Rather, I approach the question as a biblical theologian, drawing on other disciplines, but hoping to supply what they usually lack, and what I believe the church needs to recapture. The classic Christian answer to the question of death and beyond, which these days is not so much disbelieved, in world and church alike, as simply not known. A survey of beliefs about life after death conducted in Britain in 1995 indicated that, though most people believed in some kind of continuing life, only a tiny minority, even from among churchgoers, believed in a classic Christian position, that of a future bodily resurrection. Indeed, I have often found that, though Christians still use the word resurrection, they treat it as a synonym for life after death, or going to heaven, and that, when pressed, they often share the confusion of the wider world on the subject. And some Christian writers on the subject of death manage to marginalise resurrection and all that goes with it, without apparently supposing that any great harm is thereby done. I should say, as a kind of disclaimer, that at one level I am not well qualified to speak on the subject of death. Now, in my late 50s, I am the least bereaved middle-aged person I know. My life has been remarkably free from tragedy. Almost all my relatives have lived to a good age. I am surprised and grateful for this, and I certainly don't take it for granted. Moreover, though I have been ordained for over 30 years, the fact that my vocation has led me into universities on the one hand, and into cathedral and diocesan work on the other, means that I have conducted fewer funerals and memorial services than most clergy manage in their first 2 or 3 years. Seldom have I stood at a deathbed. But whereas I obviously have a lot to learn firsthand about all these matters, I think I have made up for it by soaking myself, in a way that many don't have the chance to do, in the life and thought of the early Christians. As I have done that, I have regularly returned with a sense that their voice has not been disbelieved, but simply not heard at all. My aim in this book is to bring their beliefs to light again, and I hope to life, in the conviction that they offer not only the best hope, but the best grounded hope that we have, and what's more, a hope which joins up, as I have said, with the hope which ought to energize our work for God's kingdom in the present world. At the second level, then, the book is about the groundwork of practical and even political theology, of, that is, Christian reflection on the nature of the task we face as we seek to bring God's kingdom to bear on the real and painful world in which we live.